Dr. Catherine Tracy is Associate Professor at the University of Texas School of Public Health, Houston. She holds a PhD in epidemiology from the University of Michigan with research interests in HIV, hepatitis, and other infectious diseases. She served as Assistant Director at the Houston Health Department and graduated from the National Public Health Leadership Institute. She serves on a variety of national, state, and local committees, including the Governing Council of APHA and TPHA and NACHO Epidemiology Work Group. Thank you, Dr. Tracy.
Thank you.
So, good morning. And how many of you are involved with the point-in-time count of counting the homeless? Okay, a couple of you. So, what I'm going to talk about are some things that we've done in Houston to improve our count because, as you may know, or I will tell you, it's a daunting task. I have no disclosures, and I'm going to talk about ICS today and how we use this and community collaborations to improve our point-in-time count. That's what PIT stands for. So if your jurisdiction gets funds from HUD, you are mandated to do a count during the last 10 days of January. Now, you don't get all 10 days. You got to pick one of those days and do it. You have to do both a street count and a sheltered count. The sheltered count's pretty easy. They're a captive audience. It's the street count that can be more difficult. You also, not only do you have to count them, but you also have to enumerate some certain populations, for example, veterans and chronically homeless individuals and families. Now, so our jurisdiction is Houston, Harris County. Houston is in Harris County and Fort Bend County, the county south of us. And previous to 2011, the enumerations were not thought to be optimal. And so the Coalition for the Homeless hired me as an epidemiologist to improve these counts. So we employed these methodologies last year, tweaked them this year, and are going forward for next year. Now, for those of you not familiar with Houston, Harris County, this doesn't even show Fort Bend County. It's huge. Harris County is the size of Rhode Island. You can see all of these cities that fit inside Houston. Do you remember I said one day we get to count them? And it's not even the whole day. We can't double count. So we don't want to count during the day when someone who's going to be sheltered that night would be counted in a shelter. So we can't even start our count till about 4 or 5 o'clock when the shelters require people to be in residence. So this is a big task. So this lists some of the things that we did to improve these counts. And I won't go through this whole list because I'm going to go through them point by point. But one of the things we did was this joint effort between me and academia, the Houston Health Department, where because I used to work there, I had colleagues and the homeless service providers, as well as other people in the community. So the enumerator, that was me from UT School of Public Health. We had incident commanders, I'll tell you what that means in a minute, from the Coalition for the Homeless, that's CFTH, and UT. I served 1 year and someone else the next year. We had people who helped with the count from the Houston Department of Health and Human Services and Coalition for the Homeless. We had service providers involved. We had homeless and or formerly homeless individuals also involved with the count. And we actually started this Stand Up and Be Counted Corps where they advised us on how to do a better count. And then we had community members. We put out a call for volunteers to go out the night of the count. We involved students from both UT School of Public Health, Rice University, University of Houston, and some other colleges in the area. So this just tells you some of the community members that we engaged. You'll notice public officials are down there. Our mayor was very involved. We had council members who were involved. Faith-based community obviously was very involved. Our school district was, and we have, I forget how many in the area, like 30 school districts, but they were very involved, not for the official count, but so that we could get a picture of what was happening in the area. We don't report those numbers to HUD, but we collect them internally. So this is a picture of our mayor, Anise Parker, with a shirt, Coalition for the Homeless. So I mentioned that we started this Stand Up and Be Counted Corps. This was a pilot project that consisted of 25 homeless or formerly homeless people who helped us develop training methodologies for our service teams, because not only do they have to go out and count the homeless, they got to decide who is homeless. You know, on a given night, other people are on the street walking around. You know, we're not doing this at 3 in the morning, although it has been done then. We chose not to do it throughout the night. We cut off about 10 or 11 o'clock. So these people helped identify who was homeless. They told us where there were hot spots where we should definitely go to look for. They helped, they are still in existence. It wasn't just with the count that they helped, so they still provide guidance on homeless issues. And as I said, there's this Consumer Advisory Council, which provides feedback to the Coalition for the Homeless on their services. This is a picture of the Stand Up Be Counted Corps. So I told you I was going to tell you about incident command structure. How many of you are familiar with incident command? Okay, a couple of you. You know that it's used by fire and police. It's a structure that provides a very definite chain of command. And there are many advantages to it. One is that everybody has a role and knows what that role is, and there is a common terminology. So because when I was at the health department, I had to do a lot of training in ICS. I was incident commander for Katrina, for our sheltering of Katrina evacuees at the George R. Brown Convention Center. I was the public health incident commander. And I was also incident commander during H1N1 outbreak. So I had a lot of experience with this. So we put this to work. My daughter got married 3 weeks ago, and someone suggested me I should have used incident command for planning her wedding, which in retrospect might not have been a bad idea. But it's very scalable. You can, you know, use it for birthday parties and not have all those boxes, or you can use it for Katrina and have many, many more boxes than shown there. So there's someone, the incident commander is the top dog, and then there are these sections, operations section, that's pretty obvious what they do, planning section, logistics, they get you what you need to do, and finance and admin figures out how to pay for it. So we instituted this incident command structure, and as I said, I served as incident commander the first year, but my goal was to train people, so the second year I was deputy, and someone from the coalition was the incident commander. And maybe this year I won't have to be either. One of the things, so we have these surface teams that go out and count the homeless on the night of the count. Remember the map showing a huge, huge area. Previously, they only had 6 staging areas where they sent these surface teams out from. We increased that to 9. And then these 9 staging areas were divided into 29 study areas. We had 80 teams that went out, and each car had a driver, and all they did was drive. They didn't have to worry about counting people, a navigator who had a map to tell them where to go, a homeless or formerly homeless person to help identify people on the street who were homeless, because for someone who's not used to working with that population, it may not be obvious, and then a recorder. Now, the recorder could be a student, a community volunteer, a service provider. So they had tally sheets where they would write down where they saw the person or people, guess at their sex, and guess at their ages. And it was really just less than 18, 18 to 64, or 64 and older. We also, when possible, use GPS. We're going to expand that for next year so that we could really, and I'll show you a map at the end, target these hot spots where there were a lot of homeless found. Now, that's great for getting people who may be along the street, but we also, as you know, have homeless who are in encampments, who are under bridges, abandoned buildings, et cetera. So and these people have to be identified during that one night as well. So we also had what we called our outreach specialist teams. And these were teams not of volunteer, well, I suppose they were volunteers, but they were all service providers. And they were subpopulation specialists. They knew where the encampments were. They were used to dealing with this population. So they would go out and count people under bridges. They would go with police help to abandoned buildings. And they actually, whereas the surface team just counted, did not engage the homeless person, these people did. And so they could do interviews, which helped us get some information about the subpopulations. They also would bring clothing, food, some resource information, a card that we have with where they people can get help. One of the other things we instituted were what we called SWAT teams. So I forgot to say that with incident command, you have an incident command headquarters where the incident commander is located and your section chiefs. And we did this at the Houston Health Department. They have a room that's used, the Disaster Operations Center, that has all the technology and everything you need for this sort of thing. So we put teams in the bullpen at the health department, and these teams were made up of TB workers. Our TB workers go out every day and deliver directly observed therapy. Many of their clients are the homeless. They're very familiar with the city, and they're familiar with that population. So what we did was the team captains at each of those 9 staging areas would call in once an hour, once every hour and a half, to tell us how they were doing. So that if they've said, oh, I had a couple teams that didn't show up, one team's getting bogged down, whatever, we could send these SWAT teams out to help them, and so that we could make sure that every area was covered. Now, another thing that we tried with a varying degree of success, actually that's probably not true, with no success at all, but I still think it's a good idea, was this plant and capture method. And it's used in fisheries, actually. You know when you send out, you capture a wild bird or a fish, and you mark it, and you send it out, and then you see if you can capture it again. This has been used in New York City to help estimate. We know we're not counting all the homeless. We know that. So if we send out a certain number of people, say 100 people that are plants, and we recognize 50 of them, then, i.e. half, then we can make the assumption that we're also only counting half of the homeless population. So what we did was we recruited homeless or formerly homeless vets, and we sent them out as plants. Now, in New York City, they actually engaged the homeless. So I could, you know, if you came up to me and said, you know, oh, are you homeless? And I'd say, yes, but I'm a plant. Then it was easy. We're doing surface teams, so we don't really know. So we tried a couple of different things. I brought props. The first year we gave them a blinker because it's dark out. It's January, okay? We had 0 sighted. And I thought, well, maybe it's that if my back, you know, if this is the street and I'm like this and my blinker's here, you're not going to see it. So the next year we tried these. They really do glow in the dark. Beanies. And we sent out our plants, and some of them were seen, but not very many. So I still think it's a really good idea. What we need is a better way to identify our plants, and if any of you have any ideas, please come up to me afterwards. So this just shows you where our staging areas were within that 2,600 square miles of Houston. And this shows you, using our GIS coordinates, GPS coordinates, where one staging area and where we saw hotspots. So we could see, you know, this is after we've entered all the data, where people are. The shelter, I told you, was easy because you've got all the information on them. So we contacted all 77 shelters in the Houston area. They had not all been contacted in previous years. We could get that information on the subpopulation data because they get that about domestic violence and HIV and stuff like that. It was harder for the street count because we're not engaging them. So what we did with HUD's permission was go out the next day, the next morning, we sent out students and other volunteers to places where we thought we had the best chance of getting a representative sample. And this were day shelters and food service providers, and we asked a very simple questionnaire, where did you spend last night? If they were in a shelter, then we didn't count them. If they were on the street or a place not meant for human habitation, then we did ask them just, are you a vet? And you know, the complicated question about whether you're chronically homeless. So this is the bottom line. This shows our counts. We, as I said, we instituted this in 2011. You can see our numbers went up quite a bit. But of course, it could have been the case that our actual number of homeless went up that year. So we were very anxious to see what happened in 2012, because now we had 2 years using the same methodology. We still saw an increase, and we're anxious to see what happens this year. That 2007 was an anomaly because the person who did the count that year spent months doing it. It was a really exhaustive effort. So if you want to find more information about this, you can go to the website. We also do a needs assessment of about 560 homeless people and get a whole bunch more information on it. It's not a totally random sample, but we do get a good picture for our homeless providers or service providers of what, I don't know if I can go back, of what the homeless look like in Houston. So thank you very much.